Remember, kids, it's not important if it's of high quality, only if it makes money.
Hi, I'm your friend Claude, and in the room with me is Cousin Adam.
And I'm here.
And welcome to Nerd Bombers, The Last Jedi review and rant session.
This is the review.
Last time it was predictions, and boy, will it be fun to go back and listen to that now.
Yeah, a lot of my predictions were not even close. One of them, I think, was pretty close. About, like, I said there was the Journal of the Wills.
Yeah.
They didn't name it by name, but
I think
was,
that counts, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was the original Jedi texts. Page turners, they were not.
Eh.
Yoda. Oh, you see
Yoda. Oh, yeah, in case you haven't figured it out, this is 100% spoilers.
Oh, yeah, this is total spoilers. We're telling you every freaking thing that happened in this movie. When we reviewed The Force Awakens, we kind of started off with, like, our out of 10 score. So what did you give this one out of 10?
Yeah, it's I don't really have a hard time doing that with movies very often.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'll like adjust it by like half a point here and there.
Yeah.
But this is pretty hard to come up with a solid score. I mean, like I was telling you before we started, it was initially for me it was better
mm-hmm.
than when I saw The Force Awakens. I mean, The Force Awakens is pretty cut and dry as, you know, it's like they obviously use the New Hope template and whatever.
Yeah.
So you could kind of like go from there and go, okay, they put new stuff here and there, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, I don't know how to feel, but I know it's mostly negative and confused and hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah. 4 out of 10 right now.
4 out of 10. Shit.
Yeah.
For a minute, I thought you were actually going to like the movie more than I did, but now mine's a 5 out of 10. Well, with Force Awakens, there's definitely not a lot of like nuance in that movie. You know, like you said, it was either one way or the other. And then, you know, it was entertaining. It was the funny thing that I was talking to a friend of mine at work. He said, you know, with The Force Awakens, it seemed like a lot of people like loved it at first. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then later on,
Star Wars is back.
Yeah. And later on, as they thought about it more, they were like, eh, that wasn't really as good as I thought it was. You know, it was kind of like a soft remake and blah, blah. You know, we even talked about that. I mean, it was something that they kind of had to do to get the fan base riled up again, you know, use the formula that worked already, right?
Yeah.
And then he said in this movie, it's kind of like a lot of people were coming out of it going, oh, I didn't really like that as much. And but as they think about it later, they actually like it more.
Right, I've heard it a lot, yeah.
I mean, I guess I've seen it twice. So when I first saw it, I was a little disappointed. And the second time I saw it, you know, I focused on the things that I liked about it more that time around. So I kind of liked it a little bit more. It seemed a little more cohesive. But overall, my opinion didn't really change that much. Well, first of all, what really knocked my rating down probably like 3 or 4 points is how they decided to go with Luke Skywalker's character in this movie. We'll get into that. You know, yeah. There's a lot of debate. There's a lot of polarizing talk about what it, you know, about this whole situation with Luke. But, you know, we'll go through some stuff that we didn't like. There was a lot of stuff that we liked in this movie, though. I mean, don't let the low score fool you too much. You know, the stuff that we liked, like we really liked. Well, at least I did anyway.
Well, yeah. You have what? Essentially a 50% of the stuff that you liked, and I'm on 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Like, there's a solid amount of it, but it's not enough to raise the overall score on its own.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they're little islands of positivity in a very confusing sea.
Well, and then in those islands of positivity are really like the fanboy stuff too, a lot of it. You know what I mean? Like a lot of those.
Yeah, the fan service stuff.
Yeah, there's stuff that we needed to see because it's what we liked. But I mean, that's not, I mean, you know, I don't want them to just like throw in a bunch of shit that we like, but then have like something that doesn't even make sense and isn't coherent. You know what I mean? Like we kind of want a balance and like, we just haven't really, I mean, there's more of that balance, I think in Force Awakens, because there was, you know, Han and Chewie, Millennium Falcon, you know, Leia's back, and you see R2, you see, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, like you said, it was like the soft remake. So it kind of followed the same formula of like the, you know, the down on her luck hero, you know, gets an opportunity, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's the same kind of stuff. So that was more fan. I mean, that did more, I think, for me overall than this movie. But I think the stuff that was like the islands that you were talking about in this movie, literally and figuratively, because, you know, Luke Skywalker's on an island in this movie. Ah, see how we threw that in there?
It all ties together.
We're freaking smart. Okay. So, yeah, there was stuff. So, well, why don't you go ahead? Like, what are your overall...
Do you want to start with good or bad?
I think we should probably start with good, because there's a lot of bad, so like we should probably start off positive.
We'll front load the show with some higher notes here.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just throw mine. We'll see how yours compare or whatever.
Yeah.
I guess first and foremost, I'll go with like the smallest one. I thought, even on this, I'm torn now. I liked the scene where Chewbacca like burst down the door on Luke. I thought that was a really good, like really in character, really cool moment. And it's almost like Luke's, I don't know, mom banging on the door like, "You're gonna listen to me, kid," or something, you know. Yeah. Like, he's like, "Go away, I'm in my room." And Chewbacca's like, "I'm fucking coming in."
Yeah, he busted down the door. Well, you know, it's funny because he's done that to Luke before too in A New Hope. When he tries to put the handcuffs on him, he like screams at him. He's like, "Okay, Han, you put the..." So I mean, even though Chewie's like his buddy, he's like, "I'm not gonna take your shit either." Yeah, you know, so
That's like, I guess, my first good moment. It's small, but I'm also torn because that's about all they gave Chewbacca to do.
Yeah.
Like, he was not in here very much. I mean, we'll get into more of that later, but I figured I should find the silver lining in Chewbacca's appearance in this movie.
Well, along with that, though, on another thing that's kind of like a negative, even though we said we were going to do the positive.
it's hard.
Like what you're saying with Chewbacca and like him not being in it a lot... Like, they're kind of doing that with the characters from the original trilogy that are in this movie.
Right.
You know, R2-D2's not in it a lot. You know, C-3PO's not in it a lot. Really, the only person, obviously, Luke, because the whole movie is basically based, you know, it revolves around Luke and what he's going to end up doing, you know, in this movie. And, of course, Leia was, like, front and center. But, like, all these, like, other secondary or familiar characters aren't getting a lot of screen time. And I think they're doing it on purpose because they want to focus a little bit on the newer people. But anyway... Let's go back to the good stuff. Okay, so I like that scene too.
So I guess moving on from that moment, I guess we'll go for the big guns.
Big guns.
Yoda's back.
Yoda.
Now you've seen it twice, and maybe you know better than me. My initial response to that was, when Yoda very first appears on screen, I'm convinced that was CGI, but then the rest of it's a puppet.
Yeah.
Right? Did they switch, or do you think it was all puppet? Because I haven't heard anybody else say it was both.
I think. It was one of those things where I didn't, like, notice it right away. Yeah. So I think obviously as you're watching the scene, you're like, you know, that's a puppet. But see, what I don't understand, though, why can't they just make it look the same? Like, they had a puppet before.
Right.
That, like, you know, from Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, they used a puppet in the original Phantom Menace film until they edited it, you know, for Blu-ray. They put the CGI Yoda in there. I don't know why they just can't make a puppet that looks the same. To me, it was a puppet. Like, it was definitely... someone operating a puppet,
I think it was a puppet in the bulk of it. Yeah. I think when he first shows up, it was CGI. Because I remember thinking, like, oh, sweet, there's Yoda. Oh, he looks kind of crappy. And then, like, the rest of him, like, oh, wait, no, I think he looks like he's fucking a practical effect again. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, this sounds like fucking splitting hairs here, but the fact that they're using a puppet for Yoda in 2017 is a huge part of why this is a positive for me.
Well, yeah, because it's like you said, it's a practical effect. Yeah. It's not like we used a computer and... You know, he didn't have to do weird, crazy shit that you wouldn't expect Yoda to do in this scene. I mean, basically this scene is like he's the voice of reason for Luke, you know, like he's finally, like he's kind of given him the kick that he needs to do the right thing, you know. So he doesn't have to, you know, pull out his lightsaber and fight a Sith Lord or something. Like, you're like, what? Yoda, what? You know, that was just one of those what things from the prequel trilogy, but...
Well, it's also weird to me, especially since they keep all the movies, like, in canon after the Disney buyout. So, this is a side note. It's not part of the positive-negative thing. Mm. But, so we have, officially now, Hayden Christensen as the fucking Ghost of Anakin in the newest version of Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Yet, this depiction of Yoda is clearly, like, elderly, end-of-his-life Yoda, like, almost like a throwback to the Empire Strikes Back version of him before he reveals himself. Like, he's, like, kind of wackier and kind of, you know, like he was a little more mischievous or whatever before he got all serious on Luke. So, that's obviously late-stage Yoda, not, like, prequel Yoda. So yeah. Why is, when Anakin dies, why is he young? You know, I mean, it's just this whole fucking
canon. Well, who the hell knows why George Lucas did that? Like, nobody understands it. And, like, can we get a straight answer from the guy? He probably just ignores the question when you ask it to him. It doesn't make sense. Like, he didn't die. He redeemed himself and died as old Anakin Skywalker. They should just left the freaking guy in there. You know, like, it just doesn't make sense. But, yeah. That scene was good. There was, like, one part where he was a little bit too wacky, like, where he's kicking his feet when he's laughing. I mean, okay, that's, like, a little wacky. But for as a whole, that was a good scene. Yeah. You know, it was the Yoda wisdom that you're used to. I didn't really think he said anything out of character. You know, I mean, he said, like, the texts weren't page turners. But, I mean, that's kind of Yoda's, like, teaching moment. Yeah, yeah. But... you know, his last line is something like, you know, that's the burden of being a master. They always become greater than what we are. So that kind of, he's kind of like, oh yeah, you know, like Rey's going to do great things even when I'm gone,
right?
You know, or whatever. So, but yeah, that was a great scene. I mean, I had no problem with that scene. You know, like you said, it was a little hard to distinguish if it was a practical effect at first, I think. But yeah. And it did.
I'll just see it again.
Yeah, like you'll see it again, even if you get the, you know, the video or whatever on Blu-ray or something. Yeah, I'm still going to buy that thing. I have to. You know, it's got to go in the collection, even though it's a 5 out of 10. But
yeah, I mean, I'll own it. Like, I don't really care too much about owning, like, Rogue One and, like, the standalone movies. I mean, I'll watch them on, like, Netflix or something. But, like, the main story or, like,
yeah.
I don't know what to call them.
Apparently, it's the Skywalker saga now is what it is.
But within that Yoda scene, I don't know if you've seen too many of the other reaction YouTube things and whatever. It's commonly what I'm hearing in that is something I never even considered. People are kind of like questioning / nitpicking his use of like the lightning to start the fire on the tree.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what? Oh, a ghost can like make lightning now? I mean, to me, that's like the least stretch thing in this movie.
No, yeah, totally. Like, I know. That's not even, I never even thought of that. I mean,
right.
Like, basically, if you know, I mean, we talked about it on, you know, obviously episodes we can't go back to because we talked about this before.
Yeah.
But there is, they explain eventually how he learns to become a Force ghost, really. Because Qui-Gon Jinn is the one that figures out after he passes. Because you don't really know a lot about Qui-Gon's backstory. He just figured out how to maintain his identity, basically, when he died. Because when a Jedi dies, like, you know, even Qui-Gon, they burned his body.
Yeah.
You know, he had to burn Darth Vader's body because you have to know how to commune with the Force like that to become a ghost and maintain your identity, right?
Right.
So, basically, you're one with the Force, which, you know, he explains is like a basically an energy that connects everything together. So why wouldn't the Force be able to make lightning? You know what I mean? If it's like the binding force of the universe, right? So all Yoda's doing is he's, you know, coming to his, you know, original form to talk to somebody. I think it's kind of like dying anyway. You become the ground and, you know, whatever. Your body decomposes and it makes grass. I don't know.
To me, there's two things that, like, take care of that for me. Number one is Obi-Wan, you know, in the original scene with Darth Vader where he kind of, like, lets himself be sacrificed or whatever, he says, if you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does that tell you right there? Number one, it stands to reason that when you, I guess, ascend from beyond your physical form and, you know, become one with the Force or whatever, you are even more powerful than you were as, like, a physical Jedi Master.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that should take care of it. But number two, all kinds of Sith, like the Emperor and Snoke, are using lightning left and right. Like, why can't a Jedi Master use lightning?
Well, I mean, in our least favorite movie, 2, when Yoda faces down Dooku, he basically just absorbs Dooku's Force lightning and shoots it off to the side.
Yeah.
So he did that, and he does the same thing with the Emperor in 3. They're, like, basically facing down, and he's holding onto it, and somehow he gets over, but whatever, I'm not going to get into that. But, yeah. So, I mean, they're usually that whole lightning thing is, like, for, you know, nefarious purposes. I kind of look at it as, like, he just told the lightning to do it.
Yeah.
Not like he actually did it, you know.
Yeah, like, it wasn't coming from him. Yeah,
yeah, he's like, hey, chop, burn that shit, you know, like, let's do it.
Yeah, well, like I said, to me, that's the most unlikely thing to nitpick.
Yeah, don't even nitpick that. I mean, don't nitpick the good scene.
Right, like, well, it's like,
I got a whole list of shit to nitpick right here.
And that's not on it.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's dumber? I'll go to a scene I didn't like. Is those, like, the telephone calls that, like, Rey and Kylo Ren had. I'm like, that's one of the Force things that...
Force timing?
Yeah, it was like, Force time. I'm like, that's dumb. Like, no one ever did that. And then Snoke's like, oh, I did that for you. Ha ha. Right. I'm like, I mean, if we're going to nitpick things that you don't see the people with Force users do, I would nitpick that more than... the lightning, but anyway.
So that's a taste of what's to come.
Yoda's back in that. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
Before I guess get to the grand finale of the things I liked, I'll say the again, I'm kind of torn because I initially liked it very much, and then it kind of wears off. But the scene with the using the light speed ship to take out the Star Destroyer.
Oh yeah, that was
like it's. I mean, I felt like it was a really powerful moment.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, the visual effect itself was pulled off really well. It shut up everybody in the theater.
Yep.
Nobody, like, made a peep during that thing. So it was all silent, and I thought that was really powerful. But, again, almost immediately, it makes you start questioning, you know, oh, why didn't they just do that before? Well, you know, why didn't they never, you know, all these, why did she need to fucking be on the ship to do it instead of getting in a pod and setting autopilot, all these things.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, for that moment, damn.
Yeah, no, it was, well, I mean, I think that kind of, that scene that you're talking about illustrates what I thought was good about the movie as a whole, too, was that, you know, it was a very visually stunning scene. And I think there were a lot of really good effects in this movie, too, even though, you know, obviously a lot of them were probably CGI effects like that was.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, they were really, like, visually stunning. Like, there was a lot of stuff in there that was like, wow, that's a pretty cool shot they just did with, like, whatever, you know. I mean, that's probably the best example was that. Yeah, I mean... I know that there's probably, I mean, this shows my nerddom at its finest right here. I know that, like, you know, you can illustrate this in at the end of Rogue One. I don't know if you remember, but when, you know, they shoot the Scarif with the Death Star, and Admiral Raddus is like, you know, oh, you know, may the Force be with you or whatever, Rogue One. And he's like, okay, all ships jump to light speed. We've got the plans. And a bunch of ships go. Then all of a sudden the Star Destroyer comes in and some of the ships don't go.
Right.
And they kind of just like break off and like hit things and blah. You're like, oh, shit, you know, Darth Vader's here. They didn't get away. Well, some of them did. But so my understanding was that like you couldn't even make a ship go into hyperspace if it was in proximity to like other large objects, like another ship, or you couldn't go through it to a planet. I think the reason for her having to stay is she had to probably do some kind of like manual override, like an emergency, like, no, I know there's something there, we gotta go. Because if you remember in Force Awakens too, Han, the only way to get through the Starkiller base's shields was to go through it in hyperspace and then pull out just as you go through, and then they had to pull up and they almost crash landed the ship, you know. So I think there has to be some kind of like manual way of like, you know, overriding the system so this failsafe doesn't work. And I think that's what probably why she had to stay on the ship, you know. So and
that's probably true. They should have explained that.
Like, you should have saw a scene where she was like, you know, push the hyperspace button. It's like, override is required. Do you require you know? Then she pulls out, she takes out her two keys and like turns them at the same time and then like speaks the code and, you know, whatever. Then it does it. But I think another part of the reason why she stayed too is, if you remember, I think it was Poe Dameron says, you know, you're a coward. He called her like a coward.
Right.
And, you know, because the other captains stayed on their ship as they were being blown up and like evacuating. So I think she kind of felt like, well, because like she said, she even liked Poe, you know, even though he gave her a hard time. I think she was probably like, you know, I need to prove that I'm not a coward for some reason, for some stupid reason, you know, because like, you know, ego for a woman, whatever, I don't know.
Yeah,
but I mean, it could be that too. Like she wanted to go down with her ship, you know, like it was her failure, like her plan didn't work at first, so her way to make her plan work was to sacrifice herself.
Well, right there, you kind of illustrated that you're a better writer than Rian Johnson.
Well, hey, you know, whatever.
Because, I mean, just that, those two little nuanced fucking micro scenes of explanation or whatever would have helped it come off less like, this doesn't make any sense, or this is kind of pointless, you know, because as it stands right now, it's like, oh, well, that was unnecessary.
I know. Like, why did she do that? Well, maybe because of this. Like, you had to tell people why they're doing things.
Yeah, tell me the story.
Hey, maybe if J.J. Abrams hears this, he'll, like, let us write something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That would be awesome. Then we could make Star Wars like we like it. No, whatever. So yeah, that was a really good scene though. I liked it. And you're right, everybody went in both viewings I went to, it was silent for those couple of seconds where right. And then a couple of times I heard people go, whoa, you know, they just couldn't keep it, you know. Yeah, like a whoa, you know. I think actually in the first one, I think people cheered after.
I can see that.
When the sound came back, they cheered. Right. Like they didn't want to mess up the quiet moment. But yeah, that's the other thing too. And it was funny because they set it up like they kept picking off those escape shuttles.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn it, freaking do something. Everybody's dying. Yeah. So I thought she was going to try to like maybe just turn the ship to like block the shots or something. But then as she kept going, I was like, oh no, she's going to drive it right up their ass. And like, is that what she's doing? I'm like, oh. And then, you know.
And then silence.
That's good, too. She took out most of that First Order fleet. Well, that's kind of getting into a point that I don't get either, so we'll skip that for a second. But
right.
Is that the last scene you really liked?
No,
or?
My last one is, even though, again, it's both, but especially since I've only seen it once, most of the execution of Luke's last stand was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But, you know, of course, I have to temper it with, like, it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It was too little too late. Mm-hmm. It was kind of all just a big fucking tease.
Yeah, it kind of was, wasn't it? Yeah.
But the execution of it while it was happening, I just remember being like, fuck yeah, this is what I've been waiting for.
Yeah, it was. Well, even when I figured out he wasn't there and they showed him, like, meditating, I'm kind of, you know, both sides of the story, too. Like, I wanted to see him, like, fight him. Right. You know, I wanted, like, a lightsaber battle or something. Because they even said this is the first movie where there isn't a lightsaber-on-lightsaber fight.
Right, so, which is
so weird. It was weird, you know. But, I mean, I think that showed you just how powerful he was,
right?
But not in the way I wanted to see how powerful. Not, you know what I'm saying? Like
looking for a vulgar display of
power. Like I wanted to see him, like, you know, pick him up and throw him 20 yards across the battlefield, and you know, show it. Because I mean, you know, I guess we've seen Luke fight with a lightsaber a couple times, but we still wanted to kind of.
But not as a full-fledged fucking master.
Yeah, you know? Like, he was the master. I mean, his power was really powerful,
right?
But it just kind of wasn't the power we wanted to see, I guess. But yeah, it was pretty, his suit was pretty cool in that, too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And it was funny because, like, there's a little hint that he's not really there that you don't really catch.
Right.
Until, like, when I watched it the second time, I noticed, like, when Kylo Ren digs his foot in, you see the red salt come up. But when he does it, nothing happens.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until I saw somebody online say it.
Yeah, I didn't notice it until the second time I watched it. And, like, you know, obviously he looks different, so you're kind of like, why did he just dye his beard all of a sudden and cut his hair for the battle? You know, it was like, and then I guess like the blue lightsaber is like, huh? Because like you don't see him use a lightsaber except in his flashbacks where he has his old green one. So I'm like, well, maybe did he build a new one? Like, where did he get that one? Because his lightsaber was destroyed.
Yeah, like just before that.
Just scene. Before that happened, so he didn't like borrow it from Rey. Right. You know,
that's another. I mean, it's so stupid and so like micro fanboy level. Again, this is still supposed to be the positive thing, but just the fact that like when he finally does show a little bit of his like unrestricted mastery or seemingly do it, he's got the fucking blue lightsaber.
Like, yeah, like,
what the fucking green when he built, you know, like I don't know. Just want to see the continuation of Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker, but just more mature, more experienced, more fucking completely, you know,
which
developed.
I think, and this kind of harkens to my problem with how they depict Luke also, is like, it's just, he's out of character in this movie, and we'll get to that. That's like my big point.
But, do you have any more positives?
Yeah, I have one more that you didn't say. Oh, actually, well, really quick note, you can see a little bit of that continuation of Luke Skywalker if you play Battlefront 2, because they actually put like a single player campaign mode in here, where you're playing like as an Inferno Squadron special forces person for the Empire or something. But there's a level where Luke helps like capture like a weapons cache with some like rebels that are like raiding something. I haven't played, I just got it for Christmas from my mom. We had Christmas early, so I haven't played it yet, so I'll let you know how that works out. But apparently there's a lot of clues as to like what leads up to The Last Jedi too if you play this, but whatever.
Great, so, you know, don't tell us in the movies.
Yeah, don't tell us in
the fucking ancillary products.
In the same, in the video game, too, it's like literally post Return of the Jedi looks at, like, same black suit,
right.
Black glove, you know, green lightsaber. It's, like, basically, like, a day after the Death Star, you know, was destroyed or whatever. So, yeah, the other scene I like that we haven't mentioned yet is when Luke kind of sneaks back onto the Millennium Falcon and, you know, he takes the dice or whatever. I mean, a lot of people, you can catch the gold dice in A New Hope. Like, Chewbacca, when he walks into the cockpit the first time,
yeah.
You see his head hit them and they're swinging from the thing, but you don't really see them much in any other movie.
Right.
But there, I guess, like, there was a scene that was cut out of The Force Awakens where when he goes back into the cockpit, you know, he's all, like, happy he's back there. I guess, like, he puts the dice back up, but they cut it for time or something. You can see it, like, in the behind the scenes making of or whatever. But no, what I'm actually getting to is when he sits down and R2-D2 comes to life and they have, like, this, like, buddy-buddy moment. And I mean, that kind of got to me a little bit. I was like, oh, Luke and his buddy.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, he shows, like, the hologram of Leia again from the first one. He's like, oh, that was a, you know, dirty move or something like that. But I mean, I just like that scene because R2-D2 was, like, Luke's loyal companion.
Yeah,
you know, he took him on the first Death Star run, all that stuff. So it was just a nice, like, touching moment, I guess.
Well, even up through, you know, the Force Awakens time, or, you know, just before it, we're led to believe that he and Luke and R2 are still together,
because
he puts that little puzzle piece in him, and
they
show him. I mean, obviously, it's a few years before, but they show him he is there during the burning of his Jedi temple and all that stuff. So,
yeah, so that was just a little, you know, like another fanboy scene. You see the two originals back together, and,
right? Again, for me, bittersweet because, you know, too little, too fucking late. Like, it's like, I want. Obviously, it's 30 years later. Everybody's, like, older/elderly in Harrison Ford's case.
Elderly,
Obviously, you're not going to have another, like, full-on movie with those characters,
right?
But, you know, give me a little more. Like, I wanted to see, like, all these people interact a little longer. Obviously, I'm going off into the fucking negative.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm done with my positive, so we can just go in the negative if you want.
All right, well, let's go in order here, whatever you have.
Well, mine actually isn't in order. It's just kind of like I wrote them down, you know, as it came to my mind or whatever. That's obviously, you know, one of the big ones, too, is, like, I want more of, you know, what I like. But, I mean, I don't want it to be the whole movie. You can't make it the whole movie. I mean, Luke's role in this was really big, though. He was in it a lot, and so was Leia's too, to be honest with you.
Well, it's weird because yes, but I still feel like Luke didn't, there wasn't any, it's weird. He was in a lot of scenes, he was talked about a lot, he was pivotal, but I feel like there wasn't any substance until, like, late in the game.
Yeah,
you know,
I think with, like, the whole explanation of what happened between him and Kylo Ren was when it was getting a little pivotal.
Right.
And then obviously when Yoda shows up, cause he's going to burn the text or whatever. And like, Yoda's like, what are you waiting for? Obviously Yoda knows that Rey took the books with her already. If you didn't catch
that's,
that.
Well, that's another thing I was going to bring up earlier. Yeah. That we should spell that out. Cause I didn't initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it after, like, when somebody brought up Rey having the books, it's of course, I mean, it seems almost too smart for the writing and the rest of this movie to have done this intentionally, but obviously it is at some point. So it's like another classic example of Yoda's fucking doublespeak where it's, he's like, he says Rey has everything she needs already or something to that effect.
Yeah.
But it's literal and figurative.
Like, yeah, like she has
the books.
Yeah, she has them. Don't worry about it, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I didn't, because I guess, like, right when you see her get back on the Millennium Falcon, you see her shutting the drawer, but you don't see her putting anything into it. You don't actually glimpse the books until at the end when Finn pulls out the blanket to put on Rose because she's, like, passed out or whatever. Like, you can see the books, like, right there in that drawer, so you know she has them. So I mean, it's not like that wasn't, like, I didn't think the books were that important, though.
Well, that's, you know, what Yoda leads you to believe.
Yeah, and they don't even explain what's in the books,
right?
You know what I mean? He just says those are the original Jedi texts.
Yeah,
like, oh, they're not, they weren't interesting, were they, Luke? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they don't even tell you what's in it, so.
It's almost like, yeah, it's almost like the Rian Johnson, who is, we're going to be talking about a lot, referencing a lot, in case you don't know, both writer and director, right?
Yeah.
Of this?
He was the writer and director, yep.
So.
And he'll be the new, I believe, writer/director of the new trilogy that they're going to make, which apparently
maybe
has nothing to do. Yeah, I know, maybe not. But yeah, so I guess, like, one thing that we, I guess we can kind of hit a lot of points on is that, like, I think there were too many attempts at humor in this movie.
Indeed.
You know, I think, like, in some of them, in, like, the one scene, I don't know if it was supposed to be funny, but it was, like, that scene where he milks the alien. Like, what the fuck was that
going,
dude?
Right for that out of the gate.
Like, why was that even in a Star Wars movie? I mean, it wasn't even like, you know, his, like, back was turned and then he turned. I mean, he literally puts hand on nipple
right.
and milks this freaking alien into a bottle. And it just makes them out to be this like crazy weirdo, you know, like that's not like supposed to be in a Star Wars movie, you know? And I mean, I guess some of the humor was like, okay, but I mean, there was really, I mean, they tried to put in a lot of funny stuff in this movie,
right?
Which I'm okay with some funny stuff, but like, remember, this is like what I'll agree with, you know, the old master himself, George Lucas, you know, he said, this is really just a space opera, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, there's dramatic moments. There's going to be a couple funny things here and there, but like, I think it was just too humorous at some point, you know, or like they tried to make it too cute and funny. And, you know, the milking the alien is like the very first thing that pops up into my head. Cause it's just like a weird,
the most ridiculous example.
Yeah. It's gross. Cause the milk is like right. green. It's not even like good looking milk.
Well, just the way it's played too. It's not like I've heard a lot of people talk about it in the sense that, well, I mean, it's just, it's Luke, like, this is his daily routine. This is how he gets his food and his sustenance or whatever. This is like, you know, whatever. But that'd be fine in a way if they had just depicted it as that, kind of a neutral depiction of, you know, Luke kind of going through his motions.
Yeah.
But instead, he milks it, and then he looks at Rey with this fucking, like, ah, like, just to fucking grind in how weird it and how embrace.
Yeah.
And then the fucking weird space walrus itself looks over at her with this creepy, like yeah, this is happening. Yeah.
It would have been better if, like, he was drinking milk and then Rey was like, where'd you get the milk?
Right.
And he just kind of, like, looks off to the camera and you see, like, this thing sitting there and she's like, ew, gross. And yeah. then, like, you're done. Nope. Gotta put the bottle.
You gotta go actually.
The nipple.
Yeah, you got a full Monty.
Squeeze that fucking thing and then fill it with milk. Gross.
My point that I had written down about that specifically, and it kind of ties into something else, so maybe we'll transition with that.
Okay.
Is in a movie that doesn't have the time to give Admiral Akbar a proper send off, there's no fucking time for walrus tits.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm sorry. That was my point.
That's funny. I know, right? And like Admiral Akbar, like it's a trap. Like that he was a pretty important character in that freaking movie, you know?
Yeah, why did they keep him around for 30 years?
Yeah.
Why did he make it to The Force Awakens?
Well, like I said, remember, we talked about those Aftermath trilogy novels that sucked. But he's, like, a big part of those, too. Like, he actually has, like, quite a few, I was going to say speaking role, it's a book. But, I mean, he's got a lot of scenes in those books where he's, like, you know, still in control of the fleet. You know, he's still trying to help these people, you know, win. You know, and, like, yeah, he just disappears off the bridge when it gets exploded. Well, and, like, another thing that wasted time was, which is another humor scene, was where Chewie is eating the porgs. And porgs are like, are you eating my friend? You know, and then he's like yelling at him and the other one's like crying and he yells at that one. And it's just like, because it was like a cute moment.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be funny because Chewie's eating that shit because he's a Wookiee. He's like, fuck you, I'm gonna eat whatever I want. Why didn't Luke eat the porgs? I mean, maybe he thought they were too cute too. I mean, I don't know. Like, it caught just a fish instead. But
it's so it opens up too much.
Yeah.
Like, why even put that in there? Like, okay, you've established that you're going to have the fucking mandatory cute character in these porg things. Okay, fair enough. They're apparently a native fucking bird species on this island. Great. That's okay. Whatever. You hear them in the distance going off. It's fine. They're a part of life. Why not leave it at that?
Yeah.
Why? Like, you've established you're trying to go for that fucking little kid dollar and, you know, they right at Christmas time, ask your parents for a porg dollar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you put in a scene where fucking Chewbacca is, like,
eating it.
Also has become a kid-friendly character. We understand he's a bit more vicious in actual nature or whatever. But, yeah, he's, like, they leave its fucking feet on.
Yeah.
It's basically a headless, fucking skinless version of the thing. And it's like he's looking at a real one and he's holding, I don't know.
Yeah, just, he doesn't care.
It's fucked.
It's just Chewie being Chewie. Don't worry about it.
Like, give him a big hunk of that fish Luke caught or something.
Yeah, or you know, like,
whatever.
Maybe he brought his own. I mean, he thought he was just going to come right back. I mean, he would have packed a lunch or something, right? You know, like, give me a break. But
I want to touch on, because obviously we can use this to, again, transition to the running time thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any other humorous points, but I have another point about that.
No, I mean, there was other ones that, I mean, I'll tell you a humorous scene I didn't mind too much was when he chucked the lightsaber over his shoulder, which is what you didn't expect, I think. And I think that's why it kind of, you know, what I thought he would say is be like, where did you get this from?
Right.
But then he looks at his old lightsaber And he just trucks it over his shoulder. So I kind of chuckled. I was like, yeah. I guess it's not that funny, but I mean, but it sets the tone of what you're going to get. That's and I think exactly that's why it was,
right.
It was okay to keep in there, you know?
Well, it also sets the tone of like, kind of for like the fucking tit milk scene. Or
whatever, yeah.
Because it's like,
he's just nuts.
They're going to just fucking, they're going to put this over the top. Because I mean, a lot of people online have been like complaining about that. It's disrespectful. It's like mm-hmm. too much. Luke wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there could have been a happy medium. I feel like, yeah. again, it's all in the execution. It comes back to, like, just like I said with the Walrus scene, he fucking takes the time to turn his head and look at Ray. And in this, it's like, he, like, actually tosses it over his shoulder and, like, with indignance walks off or whatever. Like, why not just have him look at it and fucking just drop it and walk away? Like, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it.
Or just throw it back to her and be like,
or,
you know, I don't want this. Bye. I mean, or whatever, you know.
The last time he saw this thing, it was in his fucking severed hand falling down a shaft.
That was the funny meme that I saw circulating after Force Awakens when she gives him the lightsaber and he takes it or whatever. And it says, like, there was also a hand. Did you find the hand or something? Like, that was
funny.
Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Yeah.
But
how the hell did... And that's another thing, too. Like, well, actually, that'll get into another point. I'm sorry. Anyway, yeah. What were
overall, I'm kind of with you on that.
Is, yeah.
Like, that's one of the ones that I feel like the internet was going apeshit about, but I'm kind of more okay with it. I feel like there's bigger fish to fry.
Yeah, like, it was still a little annoying, and like I said, I chuckled at it, because it is kind of funny.
Because it's unexpected.
Right, because you don't expect him to do that. You expect him to have this, like... Who are you? Where did you... I've been looking for this for... You know, but you get a toss over the shoulder, so... Yeah.
Well, my probably biggest point of contention with the humor is that for the second movie in a row, the very first thing you encounter is fucking Poe snarking off to a high-ranking First Order thing with the, you know, the fucking, like, oh, I'm not scared of you, and I'm fucking witty and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it was okay in the Force Awakens. But, I mean, it was... Again, it was still... It's written in that modern, like... fucking Gilmore Girls, really wordy, really quick style.
I'm holding for Hawks.
Yeah.
This is, can he hear me?
But it's like, it would have been fine, even though it's already like the same thing opening the movie again, so that's annoying right off the bat to me. But that one line would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then they just kept it going.
It's, yeah, it was like, it was, like, it was overkill. Into the definite overkill. Well, and the thing, that kind of spoke to also my problems with the character of Poe as a whole in this movie,
right,
was that he was a little snarky to Kylo Ren, where he was like, oh, should I talk first or you talk first, you know what I mean? That was like what you're talking about, right?
When
they capture
him.
And but like for the rest of the movie though, Poe isn't a like macho jackass like he is in this movie, you know what I mean? He like, you know, we're gonna do this, he's like actually nice to Finn because he's helping him break out, he doesn't make him feel like a shithead or anything,
right?
When the scene comes and when they finally show up at Takodana to take down the to fight the First Order, you know, he's like, don't let these thugs scare you, you know, he's like a voice of reason.
Yeah,
you know, he is like a leader.
Yeah,
and in this movie he's like, oh, I want to blow shit up, and it's just like,
yeah, right.
Where this is the problem when you get different people writing
right
their own movie, you know what I mean? Like, J.J. Abrams didn't write The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson did, right? So he's making Poe to be, like, this hot-headed idiot. I mean, and that kind of speaks to the whole... I mean, there's a lot of points that kind of wrap into this whole character, the Poe character arc in this movie that I had a problem with. I mean, it's great at the end where they show him kind of, again, maturing. Like, he was already kind of matured. Then they made him immature, but then he matured again because he called off the attack at the end because, like, they were getting picked off. He's like... You know, if we keep doing this, we're not going to fight. You know, we need to save lives. Call it off, you know, but...
That was a point I've heard on the internet a lot and as a point of contention, and I kind of agree.
Yeah.
Like you said, it was, like, back and forth. He'd already learned that lesson before
mm-hmm.
in The Force Awakens, and it's just like, we're gonna take him back in time a little bit just to serve my film this time, you know, and, like, oh, well, no, he's back. You know, it's just like, we've seen it.
Yeah.
I don't
like, know. I mean, I liked his character.
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, but then I didn't like it for most of this movie. I was like, what is he doing? Why is he being such an asshole? You know, like, and then, like, I mean, that kind of ties into the, I don't understand why they made, you know, the Admiral Holdo character out to be, like, a douche, but then it turns out she's not a douche, and you're like, what's the fucking point of making her, I mean, is this, like, your plot twist you're trying to throw in here? You know, like, I don't understand.
That's another one that's, like, kind of interwoven with several different, like, categories of complaint.
Yeah.
Because like you said, it's the problem with different people writing different movies, but also different people writing to serve different agendas.
Yeah.
And the biggest takeaway, one of them anyway, as far as the complaints go for this that I've seen and that I feel, is that it is packed with all kinds of not so subtle political and social commentary and, you know, just messages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really hesitate to get on this bandwagon of like, everybody's trying to emasculate men and all this stuff. Like, all of a sudden, feminism is everywhere and whatever. Like, I don't even participate in that because it's like, it's such a non-issue for me.
Yeah.
But it's easy to see how that, this scene or this series of this interaction between characters in particular could be perceived as that.
Yeah.
You got to make the woman look strong. You got to make the man look stupid or irrational or whatever.
But
it just seems cheap.
You already have a strong
character
anyway, Leia, who puts him in his place like she's supposed to.
Exactly.
Because he there's a mutual respect, which is what people should have anyway.
Right.
You know? But then with Holdo, I mean, and when he's going off on his hot-headed rant, you know, like, why wouldn't she just, like, if he was so upset about the plan, why don't you just tell him what the plan is?
Yeah, why did it need to be a secret?
Because you're putting in some agenda, because you want her to be, like, the stone cold, no, I'm strong. But then, like, at the end, she's totally, like, mush in your hands, you know?
Well, the whole thing is, it seemed like her whole, I mean, it wasn't overt feminism or anything like that,
yeah.
But in character, in the movie, context of the movie, her message to him was essentially, like, A, don't rashly sacrifice yourself or whatever, and I guess B, follow authority blindly, basically.
Yeah.
And not only does all that serve no purpose ultimately, as she's just going to fucking die anyway, but she does the exact thing she's like telling him not to do.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Like that, they kind of dropped the ball with that whole like resistance hierarchy of, you know, their leadership thing, you know what I mean? Like all the leaders die, and I don't know. It was just like that whole.
It's kind of a mess at this point.
And you know, this kind of leads into my other thing I didn't like. You know, like you see the bridge get blown up, and Leia gets like sucked out into space. And you're like, oh, is that how they kill her? Shit, you know, that was pretty fucked up. And then all of a sudden, you see her kind of floating around, and I'm like, she's not dead, is she?
Wiggling her fingers.
She's gonna do something. I mean, I guess it was cool because you knew she could use the Force already.
Right.
But she never really ever uses her power, like, outwardly, physically. It's always, like, an inner, like, she can talk to people. She can feel people's emotions. They can feel when they die. Like, remember, even in Empire Strikes Back, he's calling out to Leia. He's hanging from that Cloud City, and she's like, Luke, I can hear Luke. I know her, you know what I mean? Like, you already know, like, oh, she can hear him?
Right.
And then, like, you know, you find out it's their brother and sister. So, you know, she's like, oh, he was not in there. I can feel it. You know, like, so you know she can use the Force. So I think this was, like, their attempt to show her using it, like, physically.
Yeah.
And it was stupid. Like, she was flying through the freaking air. I mean, it wasn't, like, I don't think it's, like, that stupid. But it's not really what I expected to see at that point, and I just didn't like it, you know?
Well, that's the thing. I think they're going more for, they're worried about going more for the surprise, you didn't see this coming, than they are about whether it's consistent with character or it's actually satisfying to anybody, especially long-term fans. For me, it's another example, kind of like Luke, of, this is something I've always wanted to see. Oh, Leia's finally going to kind of, you know, outwardly use the Force?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I mean, we've seen the little seeds planted for years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's fucking see it. But, this is the execution of it. It's all in the execution. Again, it's like, you know, you're getting, when you were a kid or whatever, it's like the one present you got that was sort of like slapdash wrapped in old newspaper or something. What the hell's going to be in here? And maybe it turns out to be a great gift, but like the presentation is a little fucked.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like, oh, finally getting something I want.
Yeah.
But this is the way you're getting it.
Yeah. This is how, here we go on how I would have done it was, you want to see her use it, but like in that situation, it would have been more plausible, I think, if they, like, sent out, like, a rescue shuttle or something, and she was just, like, maintaining her life by, like, meditating really hard or something.
Right, or you even, know. Like, if you want it, because they kind of did it in stages where you see her little fingers wiggle, and then it's, like, it builds up, and then she kind of, like, bursts forth. Do that idea, but do it in, like, she kind of is, like, slowly constructing, like, a force energy field or something, like a bubble around her. And, you know, could have been a billion other ways.
Or as soon as she gets blown out of the bridge, she's like, fuck, and then, like, starts doing it at that point. Yeah. You know, like, I gotta get back in. Sorry, Akbar.
Well, that whole thing
you're
happened.
You're just a fish.
Yeah. The way they executed that, too, was just like, you know, I legitimately wasn't even able to notice Admiral Akbar as part of that until they actually had to later say on screen,
yeah,
oh, Akbar's dead or whatever. It's like, what?
You can see a glimpse of him. Like, well, he's standing up something. You're not paying attention
right,
to that.
I didn't know to look for that. So I'm
you
just
know, you didn't hear him say, like, oh, no, it's a trap again or something. You know?
It's a trap.
Well, you know, the weird thing is, I think they didn't voice him that much because the voice actor died recently, too, that did it. I can't remember his name. Tim Rose, maybe? Or no, right. Maybe he was the guy in the costume. I don't know. But,
yeah,
he died recently, so it might have been just like, well, I don't want to make it sound weird. Because
again, I'm fine with him dying, but, like... Fuck.
Well, yeah, no, it's one of those things where they're killing off everybody now, too.
Right.
Spoiler, Luke dies at the end.
Yeah. I mean, or does he?
Or does he? Well, he doesn't really die. He just becomes one of the
Force.
That's
another...
Anyway.
We'll save Luke's... Luke is his own point.
Yes, it's his own point.
It's
so
all-encompassing.
So, yeah, there was, like... And, like, we said before about execution, like, the Force telephone calls. Like, sometimes when they do new Force powers, like, they're okay... But, like, in that case, I was just like, eh. Like, that execution was weird. And, like, she could see him and, like, put his shirt on. And it's just like...
It was weird because they kept escalating it.
Mm-hmm.
As it started, okay, I can buy into this.
Yeah.
It's like, it just kind of was like, they could hear their voices, you know, occasionally. And then it was like, oh, we can kind of hear each other whenever we want or whatever, but I can choose to shut you off. And then it became fucking, yeah, they can actually see each other. Then they can actually physically touch things that are in the same fucking spot or whatever. It's like, wait, how far is this going to go?
Yeah. And then, like, when Luke busts in, he's like, no! And, like, the whole thing explodes. Like, oh, he is kind of powerful, isn't he? What's going to happen to her? You know, like, but nothing, you know. Yeah, that was a little weird. The other things that I don't think were executed very well was the end battle. Wasn't really, like, a battle. It was like...
You mean with Luke and...
No, not that part. The actual, like...
Oh, with the
resistance versus... Yeah.
Things.
Because really the only action you see is the speeder's getting picked off, and then the Millennium Falcon comes in and starts whooping ass, and they all, like, chase the Millennium Falcon out, which is, like, Chewie's big moment in that movie, is him driving it while Rey's, you know, shooting the gun or whatever. I just didn't find the execution right, because, one, it was almost exactly like the Battle of Hoth, just not on Hoth. Two, I don't know, like, I just felt like there wasn't a lot of, like, shooting involved or fighting or something. It's like, it was like a battle that never really happened because it took, like, those speeders, like, forever to even get close to those things. And then, like, the little...
And they had, like, no ability to fucking affect anything anyway.
Yeah, they weren't even shooting anything.
They were so fucking rickety and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I want to jump on your Hoth point because obviously that was, like... basically the template for that whole scene.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it goes right into, as soon as the Millennium Falcon takes all the TIE fighters away and goes into the fucking core of the salt planet, it is almost a complete shot-for-shot CGI recreation of the Millennium Falcon flying through the second Death Star.
Yep, I know, even
except
when they come
crystals instead of, you know, steel.
Yeah, and when they come into that big open cavern part, it's like when they come to the reactor or whatever they gotta shoot, it's just like, wow, that's like the exact same thing.
And, and of course, it's awesome because that was a great scene. Yeah. It was a well-executed, like, it made sense in that story, and like, it was exhilarating. It's still, even to this day, that 1983 scene is fucking... one of the most impressive movie sequences I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to... I mean, and that was, like, not even close to the computer technology they have now. I mean, that was, like, models that guy was using. And stop motion and cameras and real... You know what I mean? Like, that was a... You're right. I mean, that was a... That's why the originals were so awesome, because it was, like, practical stuff, you know, that looked real.
And they were... I mean, it was... Yeah. They were pushing the limits of that shit.
Yeah, that whole thing, that end battle, it just wasn't really... It didn't really feel like a battle. And, yeah, the part with Luke didn't really feel like a battle either. But, you know, there's just that I can't change it.
Yeah, it's interesting how there's almost a recurring theme of, like, a not-quite-battle-battle.
Yeah.
Like, before you even find out Luke is not physically there, it's kind of one-sided, like, wasted effort. Like, all the AT-ATs and everything shooting him or whatever, kind of for nothing. You know, Kylo gets his lightsaber out and swings around, and Luke just kind of fucking avoids it the whole time.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it looks cool, but it's kind of... It's an interesting choice, I guess.
Yeah, there's got to be an epic. Many. There's got to be an epic lightsaber battle in Episode 9 to finish this thing out. I mean,
Rey and of course it's gonna be Rey.
Yeah, I mean,
you're not gonna see Luke at all.
Actually, you know, that's another thing I didn't touch on that I like is I still like Rey's character. Like, I think they're doing a really good job with not fucking it up too much. You know what I mean? Like, I really like how they're portraying her. She's like basically, you know, like she's not gonna go bad, like, which I'm glad, you know, I mean, she was tempted a couple times and didn't. I actually, with Finn too, I actually liked his character more in this movie than the last one, because in The Force Awakens, he was all like, you know, in your face, like, what are you gonna do? What, you know, and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
which I just thought was out of place also. And he was a lot more mature in this movie, and I didn't find him as annoying, you know what I mean? So I actually liked Finn better in this movie than I did too. So those were like two minor points of things I liked too that I didn't mention before.
Was, gotcha.
You know, the newer characters, like, but then they fucked up Poe, you know, which it pissed me off. I was just like, he's not even like that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I just think, I do think they're still bafflingly pushing Rey's powers real far, real fast.
Yeah, I know, like, where did it come from?
But,
yeah.
I mean, maybe it's all gonna pay off, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I will say that, overall, I am, you know, I'm positive, I like the new characters, I wanna like the new characters, I just don't want them being pushed at the expense of the ones we've been waiting 30 fucking years to see.
Right.
And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And on the subject of new characters, while we're on there quick, I gotta say, and maybe it's because I just don't really care for Adam Driver, but Kylo Ren, the character, is one of the things that people kind of rave about unanimously. I'm not on that train.
No.
I'm just not. Like, and I think he was worse in this. I don't see the appeal. I don't know. And not only that, but he's totally neutered in this even more. Like, he just comes off as a fucking whiny little kid.
Yeah.
And I feel no... you know, Vader, he is not.
exactly. And, like, I mean, because Anakin was a whiny kid.
Right.
Which they made out. But, you know, obviously after he experiences the loss, which is, like, why I think one of the things they get kind of right in the prequels, too. Once he experiences the loss, he's like, I just hate everything.
Right.
And, like, I'm not going to whine about it. I'm just going to fuck everything up in my path. You know what I mean? And that's kind of like, because, like, with Kylo Ren, there's too much conflict going on within him, because he's like, you know, let the past die, but he obviously couldn't kill his own mother, you know, like he was about to, but he started to cry and stopped at the last second, and then someone else tried to kill his mother,
right?
So like he wasn't like responsible, quote unquote. But yeah, you're right, he just come, I liked him better in the last one because he had the mask on most of the time,
right?
I mean, no offense, Adam Driver, you're not a pretty boy, so
well, it's
that,
like,
doesn't matter to
it's
me,
like,
but
that
just,
well, that's part of the theme in this movie of like almost negating or tearing down everything that was established in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Like, they make a point to say, like, Snoke makes fun of the fucking helmet, so he smashes it to shit and you never see it again.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like sending a message to, like, the audience and maybe even J.J. Abrams or something.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's another thing we can talk about. I didn't really find these points to be something that, like, I dislike, but it's definitely annoying, was a lot of the stuff that was set up in The Force Awakens, they kind of ignored in this movie.
Almost all of it.
Yeah, a lot of it. We'll get into those points, too. You know, honestly, the only thing I have left on... I mean, we've been talking about a lot of stuff that we didn't like. Another thing I didn't like, just real quick, was Maz Kanata was, like, barely in it. Like, why even introduce that character? Then she's not even there in person. She's, like, there on a telephone call. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, again,
what was that? Like they were Skyping again?
They have to do it the technological way because they don't have Force time.
Yeah, I mean, she's really the catalyst for Rey in The Force Awakens by telling her who's the lightsaber is. You know, she has it, she finds it, she gives it to her. That's kind of like, she's the push for Rey, you know, in that point. And then she's like not even in this. She's like,
well,
yeah.
It's like you said, she's another element from The Force Awakens that was established as important. And they just kind of do lip service here, like this quick, like, I'm not there scene, like you said, that I've heard compared to, and I have to agree, to basically like a video game side mission.
Yeah.
Like, and she does. She's the one who sets up the whole side mission.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as you said earlier about Finn, like, you like him more in this. Character-wise, I agree with you. But purpose-wise?
Yeah.
No purpose whatsoever. Nope.
Well, that's the thing. The that leading into the whole Canto Bite business is that's like basically like an afterthought in this movie. You know, they talk about it before the movie comes out. It's like it's a new location.
Yeah.
It's important to the movie. They wrote a whole freaking book about Canto Bight, which I got out of the library and read in 3 days before I went to see the movie because I was like, I got to read this before the movie comes out. It was in the, it was hardly anything to do with that movie.
Of course.
She tells them to go get the slicer. They didn't even get the one that she told them to get. You know what I mean?
I got to be honest with you. So you are clear on that.
Mm-hmm.
Until you said that, I was conflicted. I still, like, the movie didn't make it clear enough for me, and maybe I'm a fucking jackanape here, but...
Yeah.
So, I kind of took it as, like, they found the guy with the flower pin or whatever they were looking for, but couldn't get to him, so they got this other guy instead. But I guess I interpreted that as like, oh, he lost the pin to that guy in like a game or something, mm-hmm. and fucking this is the actual guy they were looking for. But like, they don't really, but you can interpret it the way you did, and like, mm-hmm. no, this is just a different guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's still ambiguous.
Yeah, you don't really know. Yeah.
Tell me the story here.
I mean, the only thing I think the book was, I didn't really like the book that much about Canto Bight. I mean, it was kind of, it gave you an idea of what it's like to live there as like, because basically it's like a rich casino world.
Yeah.
And the people that work there are like nothing burgers. You right. know, they're just like pieces of shit. And the people that, you know, have all the money and stuff, they do make the point from the book to the movie about how the people there will make their money off of whatever side is going to pay them. You know,
yeah.
you remember he says that in the speeder. He's like, oh, this guy sold to the First Order. Oh, and look, he sold to the Resistance too. So like, you can't really, you know, fault the arms dealer for going to his business or whatever. And they kind of touch on that a little bit in the book, but that wasn't really, I mean, I guess it made sense in the movie because he eventually like flips and turns on them. You know, the slicer guy, Benicio del Toro, which you thought was going to be like this like huge character, and he was just kind of like a scuzzbag in this movie.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it didn't really, that whole thing, like you said, it was like a side mission. It just was like, what's the point? Like, there had to be some bigger thing about this Canto Bight place, but they were there like 5 minutes.
So we're obviously in the middle of the Canto Bight thing. So I have like a bunch of points written down about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go through them quick then. It's clearly the most Earth-like environment I think we've ever seen in Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
which is a little annoying.
Yep.
I mean, credit for Star Wars for being one of the few kind of successful otherworldly properties to not go that route, because, mm-hmm. I mean, they all have at some point.
Yeah.
But this is all, this just feels like it has the most minimal set dressing. Like, I saw somebody online say that the guard or whatever, the cop, they call them cops in there too, which is weird. The cop had like a Kentucky accent or something.
Yeah.
So,
like the horse racing crowd or whatever.
Yeah. I found out, I didn't notice it in the movie. I don't know if you can. So somebody online also said that one of those guys was actually Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, it was the when they crash. Yeah, that's who they're talking about. The alien that's like talking to the police about like, oh yeah, I saw them. They crashed on the beach and whatever. That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character.
He did he's not a cop.
No, he faked like the accent for that alien. Yeah,
I thought it was the cop. No. Okay,
but yeah, they're still.
But yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, it's weird that they keep having these weird like hidden celebrity cameos because mm-hmm. it was Daniel Craig as a stormtrooper or whatever in the last one.
So Tom Hardy was supposedly a stormtrooper in this one.
Oh, I just saw today that his scene got cut out, but it's going to be on the DVD or something.
Yeah, and so did the princes, too. Prince Harry and William were stormtroopers.
Oh, I didn't fucking know.
Yeah, and they cut that scene, too.
But okay, so it's the most Earth-like.
Yeah.
It also, to me, felt a little too prequel-y,
mm-hmm.
just the way it was shot and everything and the effects. But the biggest bone I have to pick with it is, it even right as soon as I saw it, this wasn't anything that took time to develop in my brain.
Mm.
It just screamed to me that this is Rian Johnson's way of like, I gotta leave my mark on Star Wars,
yep.
and like, I have to shoehorn a fucking cantina scene into a Star Wars movie.
Yeah,
but I know I'll be clever, and instead of making, you know, dirty scumbag crooks, I'll make them fucking fancy rich crooks and well-dressed and all this shit.
Yeah.
And it's so gimmicky.
Yeah, so like they were kind of crooks anyway.
Yeah, they're just still crooks. They're just, oh, we dress nice.
Yeah, it's kind of what you get from the book too, is that like, yeah, these people are like rich, but there's something else going on, you know?
Right.
And yeah, like those animal, like she called them what, like farthiers or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, they, that was a big part of the book actually, because like one of the council members of like the city is actually like a gangster, and they don't say he's a Hutt, but the way they describe him, it sounds like he's a Hutt.
Put that in the movie.
Yeah, they should have put him in there.
Jesus.
Well, he's like fixing the farthier races, and like the one character, his daughter is one of the stable girls boys that like, you know, at the end of the movies is
right.
grabs the broom with the force and sweeps, you know what I mean? They that character that's like all like pussy and pimply with a whip and stuff, he's in the book because I guess like the guy, he's like a masseuse at like a spa on Canto Bight or whatever, and his daughter is a human and she like adopted her because like she was abandoned there by whoever. You know, she's like a stable girl at the farthier races, and the guy like you know, she says the guy whipped the horse too hard today, or it's not a horse, but you know, whatever.
Right, yeah.
So it was neat to see how what they looked like, because I couldn't picture what they looked like when I was reading the book, but that's the only thing I liked about it. Because it was another gimmicky, oh, escape scene. Oh, right. We're going to ride this alien and put my mark on Star Wars by making weird aliens that no one's seen before. And it's just like, you know,
And it was, again, it was probably the pound-for-pound, minute-for-minute, the most message-laden scene or series of scenes in the whole movie.
Yeah.
With the inequality and, like, the war profiteering and the fucking animal cruelty and just it's just like, boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
There was a lot of, a lot of politics right there, power.
I mean, I'm the biggest animal rights guy there is.
Yeah.
But I don't have time for it when I'm watching Star Wars.
Yeah, like, I want to see Star Wars. Now,
I mean, that's nice.
I mean, Jesus, like, the whole original trilogy was a remark on fascism and the dangers of fascism and why it's bad and Nazis are bad. Yeah, we get it.
Right.
Like, but that's, like, the backdrop of the galaxy. You know, it's like, it's a fascist, militaristic power, and these people are oppressed and they're fighting against it. That's what the whole, that's the message. Like, you need a little other stuff going on here.
I need you to walk me through each level of
it. Like, don't hurt animals. We know that. Yeah. Like, it's terrible.
But well, I think the reason I bring up the Earth-like thing as negative or whatever, and it ties in with, like, the fact that there's all these real-world messages in it, is, like, ultimately, I'm going to fucking Star Wars to be transported to the galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, I don't want
not to be reminded of what's like here when I leave, you know?
Well, yeah, it's funny, on the point you said about how it was the most prequel-y thing, funny thing, I find is, like, in episode 2, the most earthly thing they did was when Obi-Wan and Anakin walk into the bar, and there's, like, sports on the TV, you know what I mean? And, like, that's, like, what he did in the prequels. Like, you know, they had, like, those weird robots that were, like, playing football, then there was, like, some kind of race. It could have been, like, that or whatever. But, yeah, that was, like, the, you know, like, oh, you want to buy death sticks? You don't want to use death sticks. You know, they were selling them drugs out of the bar. That was, like, the earthly, you know, because it was, like, a city. It was, like, what people did on their downtime. Like, you never see this stuff in Star Wars. Yeah. You know, it was, like, you don't, you know, like, it's just, like, why you don't show people going to the bathroom in a Star Wars movie. Because it's, like, we don't care.
Yeah, we assume it happens.
Just think about that. Just think about how Yoda took a dump every day when he was on Dagobah.
Yeah, let's
examine. Did he have to dig a hole? Like, I don't want to know that stuff.
Does the Force take it for him?
He doesn't have to wipe his own ass because, like, he gets a Force vortex that, like, sucks the shit. You know, whatever.
It's a fucking telepathic bidet.
That's, I mean, we don't care about the everyday. I mean, you can show, like, maybe, like, a minute of it or something, but yeah, I don't know. It was like, oh, we're gambling and there's coins and the droid looks like a slot machine.
Exactly.
He's drunk and this is like,
pack in the fucking shitty humor. Yeah, that scene had it all.
Yeah, that was just shit on a slate right there.
But again, you know, like I said about the contrast between if we don't have time to fucking honor Admiral Akbar, we don't have time for walrus tits. I mean, this is, again, the longest running time Star Wars movie. Why do we have time for a giant fucking, basically, trip back to Earth bullshit side mission cantina scene? I mean, at least if we're going to do it, like, better. Do it more fucking...
It's got to have more of a purpose than what it did, you know? I mean, it kind of does at the end just because the kid that's there...
Well, it's like they put that in there just to justify that.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, so that was, like, almost the afterthought. You know, what they put in the movie or whatever.
It's like one of those episodes of a show that you watch. It's like, you know, I think in the 80s it was more popular, but they would have, like, random episodes of shows where the whole thing was focused on some character you have no idea, and it turns out they're, like, testing to do, like, a sideshow or a spinoff show or something, and they just kind of build it into the existing show. And that's kind of what this felt like.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, the ties into the kid at the end. Like,
just like,
oh, is this what, like, the next trilogy is going
to
be?
Yeah. Well, they almost have to do that because Carrie Fisher's dead. So what they're going to do is they're going to do a time jump for the next movie. She's going to have, like, died of natural causes because she was old or something or whatever. And now, you know, now that Leia's dead, Poe's, like, the resistance dude and, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, you're probably right.
You know, looking for Jedi to train, and she's training Jedi because they're going to have to fight the Knights of Ren. Another point of what they ignored from The Force Awakens. Where the fuck are the Knights of Ren?
Either way, this movie just fucking...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Glossed right over it.
Yeah.
Speaking
of books, also... They did a whole book on Captain Phasma and, like, where she comes from. And once again, she is, like, a freaking afterthought in this movie. She's in it for, like, 5 minutes.
Well, that was a big... I mean, of course, it was probably, like, a red herring or whatever, which is stupid. But that was a big part of our previous show with the predictions. a big part of like the lists of things online about predicting these things was like mentioning that FASA book. And yeah, like it turned out to be completely inconsequential.
Well, and the thing too is that this book makes her out to be some like gladiatorial monster who can like beat anybody in hand-to-hand combat, which she kind of does. Like she pretty much takes care of Finn right away and he gets lucky. Because he catches her off guard and bashes her right upside the skull.
He gets lucky because plot needs him to.
Yeah, because we need him in the night. Because for some reason, he's crucial to the plot.
Right.
I mean, I like that Finn stands up to her really without even thinking about it. Like, he's not scared of her, which is awesome. Because that shows you a lot about his character, I think, too.
Sure.
You know, because he's obviously been under her oppressive rule as well. But yeah, I mean, she really is a terrible person. They make her out to be. Like, she's a villain, no doubt about it. But once again... Like, what, did she show up the last, like, half hour of the movie?
Well, that's the thing. You'll never... It's one another one of those things that you'd never know just from watching the movie.
Yeah. You have to read the book.
The movie's complete. I mean, obviously there's plenty of these types of gripes with the original trilogy. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like it's in a way that, one, totally ignores what the previous movie set up.
Yeah.
And two, leaves you, like, unable to fathom what you've seen or, like, enjoy the movie as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, this, yeah, you've set her up as this person who'll do anything it takes to survive, and she just gets her ass handed to her.
Yeah, and I'll even show you a good example from the original trilogy. Like, what you're saying is that even if, you know, you didn't really need a lot of the backstory, really, because you could imply by what is said in the movie to be, like, what is going on.
Right.
For instance, they, Vader takes over Princess Leia's ship. His officer is like, you know, if the Senate hears about this, you know, this might generate sympathy with the rebellion in the Senate, blah, blah, blah. So you're thinking, okay, well, the Senate obviously is like the governing body. Right. And then Grand Moff Tarkin walks in and is like, yeah, the Emperor just dissolved the Senate. So now the governors have control. So basically you can get an idea of what is going on. And, the you know, you can imply it by what they're saying or what they're doing. But with Phasma, you don't even freaking know. I mean,
you don't get anything.
She's just this walking badass, supposedly, who gets tackled by Chewie. Now, see, I can see Chewie take it out fast because he's a freaking Wookiee.
Right.
But, you know, he tackles her and they keep her prisoner and throw in her garbage chute. Ha ha, funny. But then she comes back.
Also, no explanation of how she survived that.
Yeah, right. she climb out. You know, did they empty the garbage chute and she like landed in the trash ship and then they took off and she got away and like, hey, come pick me up.
Well, what we've seen on screen is she's in the garbage chute and the fucking thing blows up.
Yeah,
the planet blows up. We're
just spitballing here. Yeah. But yeah, and then like she's still alive, obviously. And she just kind of shows up like, oh, FN-2187. Oh, let's just chop their head off slowly because they need to die.
Let's not just shoot them.
Yeah.
Let's go for a much more complicated and slow weapon.
That tells you how horrible she is, which I think is okay.
Well, it's also one of those things that you just kind of excuse because it's just a movie thing.
Yeah, and you knew they weren't going to get their heads chopped off anyway because it's, like you said, he's important to the plot.
What I'm wondering too is what the fuck does she care about? Like, why is she so fixated on this one inconsequential stormtrooper that fucking ran away? I mean, you know, you could fill it in, but the point is they don't tell us and it just comes off as like kind of pointless and stupid.
Yeah, it is. And like, and just her... You know, even hiring someone like Gwendolyn Christie, who has like made a name for herself on Game of Thrones, and like she's in that a lot. I mean, I've never seen it, but she's in that a lot, right?
Yeah.
Like as a character, like you make this huge deal,
and she actually comes off as the way Phasma was kind of promised, to come off in that show,
right? And like, you know, it's a big deal that they got her. It's a big deal that she's in it, and her character has a total of like 7 minutes of screen time,
right?
Like it's just like, what are you doing? You know, you don't even see her without her helmet off.
Yeah.
All you see is her eyeball. Yeah. You know, it's like it's not like she's like some Vader character that is mysterious.
Yeah.
You know, it's just fat. You know, I mean,
they're almost relying on, oh, it's the shiny one, just to carry the whole character.
It would have made sense if like Phasma, I mean, if they just like had her do more stuff, you know, like she was in it more.
Even if it's not against Finn or whatever, show her being this badass.
Yeah.
She like doesn't even a montage or something.
Yeah, I mean, she shoots her weapon a couple times in this, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And it's like a little wimpy blaster, because she's got that little staff pointy thing.
That's the only thing that, they give her a couple twirly moments with that.
Yeah.
And like, oh, she can fight. Not really, though.
Not really, because she wasn't paying attention like she should have been, right. And then Finn whacks her upside the head, you know. Oops upside your head, it oops upside your head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, Phasma was just another afterthought that was stupid. That kind of leads into, like, the stuff they ignored, but we'll get into that. So the big cheese... The big thing that I had the biggest problem with was the portrayal of Luke Skywalker's character.
Luke motherfucking Skywalker.
I mean, it was awesome that Luke motherfucking Skywalker was in this movie. And he did, like we said, he did kind of go out with a bang. Like, you saw how really powerful he was. He joins the Force at the end. Sad, sad, sad. But I think just as a whole, and it's not even like fan theory, you know, where I'm like, oh, I'm not trying to throw out a fan theory or anything, but just to me, it does not seem that what you see of Luke in this movie is how Luke would have acted, you know.
And, a lot of it, yeah.
And I mean, even Mark Hamill has been very vocal about this point.
Absolutely.
The guy that plays Luke Scott, Mark Hamill is pretty badass himself anyway.
For sure.
But he's just like, you know, this is not how, I mean, he even said he had a discussion was like, yeah, you know, a Jedi wouldn't do this. You know, like, why is he doing that? You know, I mean, he had questions himself. And I think really what it comes down to is it doesn't seem to me like Luke Skywalker would have been a character who gives up. And that's really what it comes down to. It kind of crushed what you think Luke Skywalker is, right. You know? And like I said, in the end, he comes to his senses or whatever. But why would Luke, even if any of this stuff happened, I just don't understand why he would, like, just give up like he did.
The guy who's essentially the most optimistic character in all of Star Wars history. Yeah. Like, the one guy who was willing to fucking basically, endanger his own life to try to turn good, the second most evil character in the universe, you know, lays it all on the line.
I was gonna say the exact same thing. It's not in his character. He's the guy that went to and had to fight his own father, knowing he was his father,
right,
to try to, because he knew he was good. Like, you know how much, like, courage that would take, you know? And then not only that.
Talk about not giving up.
He freaking throws away his lightsaber and stands right in front of the Emperor's face and says, I'm not going to be a bad guy, right. You know? And he's like, so be it. And he almost dies. Like, that's not the Luke Skywalker that's in this movie, you know, for the most part.
Right. I'm sure you're working to that or whatever, but just to enhance that point.
Yeah, go in.
That Luke Skywalker really seems like the guy who would, regardless of how evil he was becoming, would even contemplate murdering his nephew.
Right, exactly.
While he slept defenseless.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
Yeah, well, and they even, I mean, there was obviously like three sides to that story in the movie. Right. Because there was his watered down version, Kylo Ren's exaggerated version. And yeah, even in the movie, he says, like, yeah, it was fleeting. Right. It was just an instinctual thought, and I was ashamed of it. But, like, he still wouldn't have.
Still isn't.
Got the even lightsaber with all those
qualifiers,
out.
Yeah.
He wouldn't. I mean, he might have sat there and looked at him.
Right.
And was like, I should kill him. Oh, my God, what was I thinking? No, I'm not going to do that. But he had his freaking lightsaber out, like he was going to slice the bastard, you know? He was going to slice that fat bastard up and just, like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
also, if he wanted to, if he was actually contemplating that or wanted to actually follow through on it, at that point especially, does he need the lightsaber?
No.
Couldn't he just fucking choked him in his sleep with the Force?
He could have just...
Or any number if they snapped his neck?
He could have, like, did what Tony Soprano did to Christopher Moltisanti, just covered up his nose and suffocated him, you know what I mean? Well, of course, he was in a horrible car. Not even the movie. Let's get off that. I'll tell you, this is how you could have fixed this, like, super easy. That whole backstory was fucked up to begin with.
Right.
Because you didn't have to, like, you made it seem like he failed because, like, oh, by the time I figured it out, he was already too far gone. Like, no. You should have played it off that Kylo Ren was a little bit too obsessed with Darth Vader because he's a Skywalker. Well, I mean, he's a Solo.
And it's established.
Yeah.
You know?
He's got Skywalker blood. He even says it, the mighty Skywalker blood in his little speech to Rey. I think it would have been better if they just said, okay, Kylo Ren got a little too obsessed with Darth Vader. On occasion, he's asked Luke questions about it. And Luke kind of, like, dismisses it, but then later on thinks about it. It's like, you know, he's got a little bit of a weird obsession with it. He talks to Kylo Ren about it. Kylo Ren gets defensive, whatever, whatever. Secretly goes behind Luke's back to, like, learn more about Darth Vader. Snoke somehow comes in, which, of course, they never fucking explain again. Kind of corrupts him and then catches Luke by surprise, you know, because as you can see, he even mentions it, too. He says the Jedi in the height of their power allowed Darth Sidious to basically exterminate them. So, you know, the dark side can cloud even the light side's vision, you know, even if you're a powerful master like Yoda. Yoda didn't even know the freaking Supreme Chancellor was. I mean, I'm not saying this was a good plot point, but I mean, it's established. So, like, you could say, well, there are little dark side teachings and stuff. Like, Luke just didn't see it because it clouded his vision, and he didn't see that Kylo Ren was continually to be obsessed with Darth Vader,
right?
And now has become evil, rebels, they get in a fight, you know, he survives. but like he ends up killing it. You know what I mean? Something like that. So then after this happens, Luke could be like, man, I really messed this up. What am I doing wrong? Like, what is wrong with the teachings of the Jedi?
Right.
My nephew is now evil and has killed most of my apprentices and took the other ones as like his little gang. You know, maybe I should go find out what this Force thing is really about. You know, I'm going to find the first Jedi temple. I'll be right back, guys. I got to do some research. And then, like, Luke Skywalker vanishes. So now the First Order comes in, blah, blah. Right. He goes to the freaking island, finds the original Jedi texts, finds, like, maybe there's some aspect of the Force that they're using wrong. Like, they kind of touch on that a little bit when he's talking to Rey. Like, you know, oh, to say the Jedi are gone, the light would be gone, that's vain. There's vanity. There's failings in the Jedi teachings. I had failings in the Jedi teachings, so my nephew, you know what I'm saying? Like, this makes more sense for fucking Luke Skywalker. Not like, I give up. I'm going to go die on this island. Ah! You know, like, that's not what Luke would do. Like, that just does not... That's not Luke Skywalker.
Well, it's the thing, I don't even necessarily hate that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter whether it works or doesn't. It doesn't matter whether I like it or does or I don't. It matters if it's fucking consistent with the character.
It has to be consistent.
Right. And even if it was the greatest thing ever, I still would not want it just because of the principle that you have established. You have decades of established story of this character. Now is not the time to take a fucking sharp left turn.
Yeah,
talk about like, vanity.
And Luke gives up. You know, it's like, that's why the original trilogy was consistent, because even, you know, George Lucas had something to do with it every time. You know, he was a producer. He was a writer. He was a director. Like, he knew, like, he kept the character consistent. Like, Han Solo was the same freaking guy.
Right.
He just matures a little bit and, like, fights for something bigger than himself.
Which is the point of a character arc.
Right.
That's fine.
Like, usually that's what happens to a main character, is they go through some kind of conflict, they deal with the conflict, and they grow in the end. That's really how a story works, right?
You know? Basic,
It's not like...
It's fundamental.
It's like, that's what Luke does. He grows. He's immature. And then, like, he thinks he's, like, he's a little naive, but then he gets more wise, and then he really, oh, you know, I just saved the galaxy, and then you make him go downhill again to, like, something fucking weird.
Like,
you know?
Yeah, we're all on this ride, we're with him, like, we're fucking buying in, we're like, okay, great, now show us what we've been waiting to see. Mm-hmm. Like I said earlier, the fully realized Luke, we've been on his journey, but yeah, they're just gonna push him off a cliff and, like, almost go backwards in development.
Yeah, like, he becomes more... Well, yeah, he becomes immature again.
Right.
For who he should be, you know? And, I mean, I think even... I mean, you could even went you know, with the whole, I don't want to train any more Jedi, because, like, we've been doing it wrong the whole time, you know? Maybe, like, the Force, like, the first Jedi were like, oh, you know, we have this power, we shouldn't have, like, an established, like, fraternity that, like, you know, we could use our powers for good. You know, maybe they're just, like, there's something wrong with the way the Jedi have been doing things. Obviously, there was something wrong, because they allowed the Sith to basically kill them all and take over the galaxy at some point. So, I mean, you can still have the conflict with Luke and Rey. She's like, I'm not gonna train you. Like, you know, like, I'm not gonna train you to be a Jedi. Look what just happened to my nephew. Like, we've been doing this wrong the whole time. I'm not gonna do it. You know, and that could have been the conflict between them, because there was conflict there, because he wouldn't train her.
Right.
You can make something else up that's more consistent with his character. Exactly. That's all it is. But it's just like,
and the point is, not only can you, but there's a lot to pick from. I guess a lot that you just laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other things. You can go in a lot of directions.
Yeah.
But it would all relate better to what we already know of Luke than. Oh, I'm just going to, you know, I've got to put my own stamp on it. It's just what this movie reeks of to me.
Yeah.
It's so, like, it's insulting.
Because in the way that The Force Awakens sets you up is that he turns around and sees her. He hands the lightsaber out. He kind of gives this look. And he's like, huh. You know, it's not like it's not like he's annoyed. It's just like, huh. So, like, when you pick up for that, like, it would make more sense to be like, who are you? You know, where did you find this? Like, questions. I'm crazy now, you know. Just like, I'm gonna throw this lightsaber away. I haven't seen in 30 years, and you know, how'd you get that? Like, you didn't care how, like, your lightsaber
none
was
of it
like.
Matters.
Yep,
just like
that. That was the kicker for me. I mean, that's why I don't like that movie. You know, I just do not. I could not get on board with how they made Luke turn out to be. I mean, yeah, he had his redeeming moments. You know, like I said, there were scenes with
Yoda. They gave you, like, little tastes.
Yeah, tastes of what he could, what it could have been. Even, like I said, like, he was really powerful at the end and saved the day, but it was not in the way that you would want him, what I would have pictured to see it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I didn't think they handled it well at all.
Well, look, I mean, tell me the story in the context, again, of what's already established. Tell me the story that is the clear or a logical, at least, continuation of what's established.
Yeah.
And it just fucking jumps off a cliff and takes us all with it.
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
I mean, there's something to be said for this era of movie fandom being the most difficult ever climate to like release a movie and make a movie, especially with like established properties like this and beloved established properties. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. But now, like again, like I said, now is not the time to fucking play fast and loose with.
Yeah, I know. Right?
With the, you know.
Well, like when the, like the most important character of the entire
I think
original trilogy, you know.
That's another aspect of why I don't like this so much and why I'm so offended by it is like not only the most important character, but like all the rest of like the legacy characters, quote unquote, they're what got you here.
Mm-hmm.
They're why you have a 7, 8, and 9 to make. Yep. They're why you have a job that's probably paying you a shitload of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you spitting in that?
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Oh,
I mean,
man.
How many people do you think are going to be clawing their... I mean, obviously, when Force Awakens was released, it was the first in 30 years or whatever. Like, we're all chomping it. We have to know what's coming next. So we all flood the theater. It makes a ton of money.
Mm.
This one comes out, and, like, very early on, fucking word of mouth is spreading. Like, this is the most divisive and confusing Star Wars ever.
Mm.
And it made a lot of money initially, and then it's kind of plateaued.
Mm.
Disney, again, with their $4 billion investment, and obviously they want to recoup this as much as possible or even make more on it. Is it smart to spit in the face of long-term fans? How many people are going to be beating themselves up to go see the next one?
Yeah.
I guarantee there's a sharp drop.
Yeah, I'm not excited to see Han Solo or whatever it is, Solo, a Star Wars. I mean, I'm not
I'm at episode 9.
Well, yeah, you're talking about episode 9. Right. Yeah, I mean,
but how much goodwill is there left to justify seeing the standalones now, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
Because you're going to release one of these every year, right?
Yeah. And the weird thing is, like, I liked Rogue One more than I've liked The Force Awakens and, you know, Last Jedi now. You know,
right.
Just because, and, you know, it sucks because it harkens back to, it's got, like, the TIE fighters, the X-Wings, mm-hmm. the Stormtroopers that we know and love, you know, not the new one.
The First Order
version. Yeah, but even so, I mean, that was a straight-up freaking war movie, and there was, like, there was shit going down in that movie. You know, it was like there was a big battle at the end, which was actually a battle with things blowing up and people dying. Like, that's what happens in a battle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It wasn't like a sort of battle like we saw in this movie. I mean, it was like, I mean, and it was good because it kind of showed you the dirty side of even the good guys. You know, I mean, it was just a good movie. Like, I liked it because it had Darth Vader in it and James Earl Jones did the voice and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, yeah, it was just, it was more, like you said, it wasn't spitting in my face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was believable, you know.
Yeah, it has a ton of new characters, mm-hmm. but they...
And they all died.
They fit in better with, like, the established,
that's
you know, kind of a playground of Star Wars.
Right, exactly.
So, I don't know.
Whatever. So, the handling Luke was pretty, it was just not even cool. It's all Rian Johnson's fault, too. He freaking wrote the script. We expected good things out of this guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was the talk going into it is, I guess, mainly Looper is his kind of big claim to fame before this. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, I've never seen it as far as I know. It's universally accepted as, like, you know, an above average film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, you don't think so, but...
It was aight. Well, so I mean, it wasn't bad.
I feel
bad.
Like he was feeding off of that going in here. Like, oh, what's he going to do with this?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, from a movie making standpoint, it was, you know, it was well made. It was a well made movie.
I mean, yeah, they have the, you know, they got all the money in the world behind it, the best effects.
Well, I meant, like, the Looper thing, but still.
Oh, I think that's... Okay.
Well, yeah, that too. Right, like, like I said, it was there. Well, yeah, like, I mean, this Last Jedi was visually stunning.
Right.
So it worked with, like, their production value and everything. But yeah, the writing was... And I think that's where it comes down to, you know, the thing. But no, I mean, like, Looper was a well-made movie, too.
Gotcha.
A little far-fetched, but, you know, science fiction, so whatever. Like, Star Wars isn't far-fetched or something.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing, too. People are using a lot to justify, like, the people that are, like, pro-Last Jedi are using a lot to kind of justify a lot of things is, like, you know, how can you have any complaints? Because Star Wars is a complete fucking unrealistic, fantastical concept to begin with.
But
you know, I hate that stuff because it's obvious that none of these things are actually can happen.
Yeah.
Most of them anyway. But, like, again, you got to go with what's established.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think the biggest, you if you want to put it down into one bullet point on, like, my biggest problem with anything that's not the original trilogy is consistency.
Right.
It's a consistency issue. Like you said, what's established already? You have to go along with what's established already, you know? Unless you're going to say it's a reboot. Then you can start over again. But
which is, I mean, I'm kind of
at least to my understanding, the announced Rian Johnson trilogy following episode 9 is not necessarily or at all going to be 10, 11, 12. It's going to be, you know, basically that.
Yeah.
His own thing. Whatever.
It's like a different time period or right. something like that. It's going
to... Not necessarily related to the Skywalker.
Yeah, I mean, we could kind of speculate on that on a different show.
Well, my whole point is that's the time to fucking
put your little mark on it. Yeah. Like when it's not your established characters. Right. Yeah, you know, exactly.
I mean, plant your seeds in these, do your setups or whatever, but fucking keep the fucking consistency, like you said. This isn't really a massive dislike or anything. It's just something I noticed, and I guess it kind of plays in with the theme of, like, kind of undoing what the previous movie set up. But I noticed in this a lot, they were no longer saying Resistance. They were openly saying Rebels again. Yeah. You know, and they had, like, the Rebel insignia on the ring.
Yep.
Like, the Rebel scum and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
Well, here's my nitpick. Is this supposedly takes place, like, right after Force Awakens, right? How all of a sudden, after you've just destroyed a planet, basically, that's like a weapon,
right.
does like the First Order just have control of the galaxy? Like, this is
right.
One of the biggest, and, you know, I think J.J. Abrams kind of fucked this up a little bit in Force Awakens too, is like we talked about it, like the destruction of the Senate and basically the Republic itself was kind of an afterthought in that movie. It just kind of happened and then whatever. But it's like, okay, so I guess what you're saying is, you know, the First Order destroyed the Senate. But then the Resistance was there, destroyed Starkiller Base. Yes, some of them got away. But then immediately thereafter, Snoke unleashes the fleet
right.
on an unsuspecting galaxy and has control of the whole thing. And the Resistance is one Star Cruiser and, like, two little ships next to it. And, like, why does nobody in the galaxy give a shit? You know what I mean? Like, you think that, like, the galaxy is like, you know what? I'm getting sick and tired of having some militaristic government destroying planets and freaking whole solar systems.
Especially
like,
after we just dealt with this in the original trilogy.
Yeah, right? I mean, you know. Okay, it's 30 years later, right. so maybe there's been a period of peace and pride, but 30 years isn't a long time.
Not really, no.
So, like, why does nobody care? Like, nobody comes in the end to help them?
Right.
Like, why does nobody... Like, I just don't understand. Like, that's one of my annoying things about this movie, is just, like, how did this happen? Like, all of a sudden, I mean, I get it. The First Order is in hiding. They're building up their fleet. They've got the resources. They're really the remnant of the Empire. They're just waiting for their moment. But then when they come back, like, they're just suddenly in control, and now the Resistance are rebels. And,
right.
you know, even Luke says it. He's like, the Rebellion's born today. I'm like, Rebellion against what?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're not, like, I mean, seriously, no one's like, you know what? I don't like the First Order. Oh, well, maybe, I mean, are the people in the galaxy just that indifferent? To,
that indifferent, that's stupid. That
yeah, I mean, fooled. Is this like the Star Wars' version of the Vietnam War?
Right.
You know, where people of Vietnam don't care who their government is, so why are you fuckers fighting about it? You know what I mean? That's kind of, I mean, not to, you know, make fun of something that's actually pretty serious,
right.
but I mean, it's just, you know, that's kind of how, what I'm thinking, like, why doesn't anybody in the galaxy care that the First Order has just destroyed the Senate?
Well, they hammered that home, too, when they sent out the distress signal, and they made it a point to say, nobody's coming. We can see that. It's like fucking all of a sudden it's Facebook Messenger they use to send out their distress signal. We can see that they've received it.
Yeah.
But they're not answering.
Yeah. That would have been a perfect point to have Lando Calrissian come
Absolutely.
Back. Absolutely. Oh, or in the casino scene. Yeah, where the fuck's Lando? Did you forget Lando Calrissian's a character? Like, yeah, fuck it. He only destroyed the second Death Star and, you know... I don't know. It was like a super important character.
Well, he ends up as a general
yep.
in the fucking rebellion slash
he
resistance.
He owned the Millennium Falcon
right.
before fucking Han Solo did. Where's Lando?
Not
give
even,
me a break!
Give me at least a mention.
I mean, I understand Billy Dee Williams. He's getting a little old.
Yeah, he's old.
I know he has some problems with like mobility. He doesn't have to walk. If he could be sitting behind a console.
Give me the fucking Maz Kanata moment with Lando on a screen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Like, hey, good looking.
Yeah,
you know,
all he has to do is sit there from the chest up.
Yeah, it's like, I'm Billy D. I mean, Lando Calrissian. Yeah, seriously, like, you can have him on a ship, flying a ship. He sits down
exactly.
for that. He can be dealing poker at the casino. He can sit down for that.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like, I mean, well, I'm only saying that because I know he was on, like, Dancing with the Stars a couple years ago, but he had to, like, withdraw because, like, his legs were bothering him or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, this is just one of those other like loose ends years after the events of The New Hope, and then like Return of the Jedi was like 1 year after the events of Empire Strikes Back or something like that.
Yeah.
So they'll probably do like a time jump where, like I said, they're probably just going to somehow explain that she died like naturally, or she died.
Well, I guess, I mean, that makes sense. That's probably the cheapest and easiest way. They had already shot this movie, whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. But as a viewer, I mean, I find that the least satisfying.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's totally not satisfying at all.
Like cop out. I mean, to me, I would have rather seen this one hastily fucking recut or something. I mean, you got Laura Dern still alive, you know? Maybe you swap them. Maybe Leia goes out in the light speed thing, sacrificing herself.
Yeah, if they did that originally, that would have been cool.
It's a pretty fucking impactful, noble, big way to go out.
Yeah. I mean, she took out like five cruisers at least with that thing, and Snoke ship, which is like the biggest of all. Yeah.
I don't know.
Whatever. We're not the ones in charge of it, we can't. We have no say.
What do we know?
Yeah, what do we know? We're just a couple of dudes talking about stuff we really like and are passionate about, but we're the bad guys here. So,
yeah, I guess finally the last things I want to say are against people that I guess criticize people like us who have any kind of disappointment.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I've heard it stated kind of that, like, if it's bad in some way, then the fan base is to blame because of too much complaining about the previous movie or something like that.
Yeah.
But why would you punish somebody for noticing something?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, I liken that to, I'll use the Nazi Germany reference on this one too. Like, you know, they're justifying it any way they possibly can. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's a little harsh saying Nazi Germany, but, you know, they're just trying to, you know, like in, yeah, I mean, even Rian Johnson said, I think in an interview, like, yeah, he's hurt that so many people don't like it, but like, it's like, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's kind of like the way George Lucas is too, but the prequels, like, you know, everybody, I mean, they were universally disliked by the original fan base, like hands down. And he's just kind of like, yeah, I made the movie the way I did, but he was really hurt too by the backlash he got. But
I think it's easier for me just me personally to take from George Lucas, even though I thought they were stupid because it's his baby.
Yeah, he did it.
Ultimately, you know, this is the guy, I can fucking swallow it, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, when somebody who's just kind of coming in at the end and going, I'm going to do this and this, and, you know, fuck you, it's insulting, but I guess it's also better than the Paul Feig approach.
Oh, yeah, Jesus. Don't even get me started on that again. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, in what you're saying, too, it's almost like people are saying, oh, well, you have an opinion, well, your opinion's wrong, because it was a good movie.
Right. And
it's just like, no, it's my opinion, just like your opinion is your opinion. It's not a fact. For instance, like, my favorite movie is, like, Empire Strikes Back. Yours was, what, Return of the Jedi, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? But I'm not saying, like, well, why do you think Return of the Jedi was better? Like, your opinion, it's not right. You know, I don't say that to you because it's stupid.
Right.
Like, I liked this movie better than, you know what I mean? Like, we both universally like those movies, but you like one more than the other. But I'm not going to, like, argue with you about it. Like, I can see why you might like that one better. But, I mean, I can see why you might like this movie, but just because I didn't like it, I mean, don't give me a fucking hard time.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, I know a friend of mine, he shared a link about how a bunch of fans were, like, petitioning Disney to, like, throw it out.
I did see that, yeah.
And he was just like, yeah, because fans are stupid. And he's like, oh, the debate over Luke Skywalker, he's like, quiet nerds, you know, and stuff like that.
That's my point. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's just being dismissed as this fucking,
no,
you know.
I'm not as nuts to say, like, let's start a petition and have them read. They're not going to do that. That's
silly.
You're just having a pipe dream here, pal. But, I mean, I'm going to have an opinion about Luke Skywalker because I love him, you know, and now I don't love him. I don't know.
The takeaway here, folks, is after you see The Last Jedi, or instead of seeing The Last Jedi, perhaps, go right to Rogue One.
Yeah, just rent Rogue One, watch that. And you'll feel a little more satisfied, I think. You know, I mean, Darth Vader's in it. You know.
There you go.
But
done and done.
Yeah, done.
And that's going to about do it for us here at Nerd Bomber Podcast. This has been our Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi review/coping session. For Cousin Adam, as always, I've been your friend Claude. And we're going to leave you with a warning from Mark Hamill himself that we all should have listened to.
It was shocking to me to read what Ryan had written, as I'm sure it will be for the audience.